or maybe you'll just hang out and listen to conversations like the one we're about to have with Greg Cosell, senior producer, NFL Films. Let's talk about Niners and more. Hey, Greg, how you doing this week?
Gentlemen, how are you?
We are fantastic because it sounds to us like Christian McCaffrey's going to play football this weekend, Greg. We don't know yet, but that's the drumbeat, and that's my first question. Through your eyes and watching tape, how different is or how much more open is the playbook for Kyle Shanahan when Christian is in versus out?
Oh, I think it's significantly more open. I think it starts with the pre-snap movement. There'll be a lot more. I mean, they're a high-motion offense to begin with, but I think with McCaffrey you can do even more. And then just simply the fact that the run game is better because he's, you know, a great runner. So I think there's, and the pass game element, obviously. So with the motion and the pass game element, I think there's a much broader playbook for sure.
When you look at the film, when he's on the field and Debo's there and McCaffrey and you got Juszczyk as well, what are the different ways that they use him that makes it so tough on defenses?
Well, you know, the first thing a defense tries to do is to identify where people are and identify formation, and then they decide, okay, this is the way we practice to play against, you know, certain formations. And then when there's movement, what that does to a defense is they usually have a response based on their practice all week, a response to motion. Some teams don't respond at all because they don't want to get caught up in communication with potential confusion. Other teams, based on the specific kind of motion, might have an adjustment that they've practiced all week. So one way or the other, you're giving more information to Brock Purdy before the snap of the ball, and that's what you're always trying to do with a quarterback, is give him as much information before the ball is snapped as possible.
Greg, I'd love to ask you about Juwan Jennings, who's also going to return this week, and his role has sort of been one thing through his career, and then all of a sudden, because of injuries and whatnot early in the year, he started to show people a different level of productivity. What did you see early in this year from Juwan that maybe you didn't know he had in him?
Well, I wouldn't say I didn't know that he had it in him, because I remember doing him and evaluating his tape when he came out of Tennessee, and I really, really liked him as a player. What hurt him was the fact that he ran something like a 4.74 40, so right away that dropped him in the eyes of scouts, evaluators, and coaches as someone who, hey, really good player, physical, competitive, tough, but how many 4.74 wide receivers play in the NFL? So he's not a surprise to me, because he was in the SEC and he was a really, really good receiver, super competitive, super tough. You know, his game's obviously not built on speed, but that's okay. I mean, you know, there are very few receivers whose games are truly built on speed. So he's always been a physical, tough competitor who can work between the numbers, and he's with a team who the foundation of the passing game is working between the numbers.
And you look at this offense now with Ricky Pearsall emerging, and Brandon Ayuk, of course, is out. When you go to a three-receiver set with Pearsall and Juwan and Debo, who works better in the slot from what you've seen on film?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately that's where Jennings has probably played the most, but I would say that this is an offense based on the use of motion, based on the fact that there's so many tight or reduced splits where the receivers are closer to the offensive tackles or the tight end. You know, I think all of them could technically work in the slot. I don't think this is an offense that's built around you have one guy who lines up at the X, one guy who lines up at the Z, one guy who plays in the slot. I don't think the offense is built that way. So I think you're dealing with three guys that could essentially line up anywhere and that can all be used as motion players.
Greg Cosell with us, senior producer, NFL Films, every week on Willard and Dibbs. Greg, we want to ask you some things about the Tampa Bay Bucs for sure.
Sure.
You know, someone who I respect in the league said to me that right now this is not a very good defense, the Bucs. I wonder what's your evaluation of them right now?
Well, they're kind of hurting at the corner position for sure, because right now they're starting two corners who, you know, I don't think ultimately they wanted to be starting. They play McCollum, and now they're down to their third corner opposite him in Hayes. So they're the outside corners for the Bucs. Smith, a rookie from Georgia, is the slot corner. I personally don't think that he's a slot corner in the NFL, but, you know, others obviously disagree. So I think they're hurting at the corner position. You know, I think at linebacker, they're telling you that next to Levante David, they're uncertain as to that player, because they were playing Britt quite a bit. And then over this past week, and I think even the week before, they started playing a free agent named Russell. I believe he's a free agent, J.J. Russell. So they're telling you by what they're doing at that spot next to David that they're searching for someone who, in their mind, can do the job. And in their front, they don't truly have an edge pass rusher. They've got Vita Vea, who's obviously a really dominant force inside. They've got a second-year player, Kalijah Kancey, who's got tremendous quickness and can rush the quarterback. But on the edge, they're struggling on the edge.
And when you look at Vita Vea in the middle, and he's such a great nose tackle, and he's going to absorb the double team each and every time, what do you do offensively to sort of counteract what he can do as a space eater in the middle?
Well, then it comes down to the types of blocks that you deploy. There'll be angle blocks. There'll be double teams. You know, that's all built into every run game. So, you know, you're probably not going to block him a lot one-on-one. My guess is they're not going to have the center block him one-on-one. So, but you can take care of that with the way you structure your run game. So he's a really good player, and he'll make some plays, but my guess is he's not going to wreck the 49ers offense.
Greg, how have the Bucs done in handling the loss of their two best wide receivers in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin so far?
Well, I think they're the receivers that they're putting out there now, they don't really have a whole lot of verticality to their offense. Trey Palmer can run, but, you know, he's not a great receiver, but he certainly can run. So, you know, what they're putting out there now is a bunch of guys who are kind of short to short intermediate receivers. Their wide receiver rotation had guys you probably haven't heard a lot of. They have a kid named Rakeem Jarrett who played at Maryland. They have a free agent named Miller who played at Furman. Obviously, you know Sterling Shepard, he's been in the league, and they've got Palmer. This past week, Jarrett, the free agent from Maryland, played the most snaps of the quartet. But it was clear watching that tape that they don't really have an intermediate and true vertical dimension to their pass game, so it's somewhat condensed.
When you look at the run game, and the Niners have had some trouble against the ground game so far this year, Rashad White, Bucky Irving, if he plays, how much of a threat do they pose against a Niner run defense that has been, at times, vulnerable?
Well, they've got three backs that they play. They play Rashad White, they play Irving, and then they also play Sean Tucker, who came out of Syracuse a few years ago. And, you know, these guys all have ability. I mean, Tucker and Irving are both explosive-type backs that you have to be careful. They can create bigger plays. But their run game has been pretty good, quite frankly, over the last 5 or 6 weeks. They play a lot relative to the rest of the NFL of what we call the pony package, in which they play two running backs. So, in other words, it's 21 personnel, meaning two backs and a tight end, but the two backs are halfbacks.
Greg, what's your assessment so far this year of the play of Baker Mayfield, who always seems the last few years to sort of be sneaky in terms of how well he's playing when no one's expecting him to?
Well, I would say in the league, he's probably thought of pretty well. I mean, he's at his core, he's a pocket quarterback. He's got a good arm. You know, I think he sees the field well. He's willing to make difficult throws. Every once in a while, he'll make a throw that, you know, he throws the ball into coverage or forces a ball, because by nature, he's aggressive, turning it loose. But Baker's a good quarterback. And, you know, his arm is if you talk to coaches and players, they'll tell you his arm's really good. He can make throws. They just are somewhat limited in what they could do with their pass game because of what they're lacking on the outside. But Baker Mayfield's a good NFL quarterback.
And you look at their offensive line, Greg, and I see four of the five who were drafted either in the first or the second round. How do you think of this unit as a five-man group trying to protect Baker without the weapons they have outside?
Yeah, it's not a bad group at all. Obviously, the left tackle, Wirtz, is a really, really good player, probably one of the better left tackles in the league. They drafted Graham Barton in the first round this year, who was a tackle at Duke, but they've moved him to center. You know, he's a rookie, but he's a solid player. So it's a solid O-line. You know, it's not a weakness per se. My guess is, you know, with the right tackle, Gadecki, that they'll put Bosa predominantly on him, and I think that'll be a good matchup for Bosa. You know, the two guards at times can struggle in pass protection. So we'll see how they choose to attack that. But I think the two guards, not necessarily a weakness, but not a strength.
Greg, I get what you're saying about putting Bosa on the other side, but in the past, there have been kind of some one-on-one matchups between Nick Bosa and Tristan Wirfs, who are two of the best at their positions. If we see that some this weekend, how would you sort of handicap that matchup? What can you tell us about their tendencies?
Yeah, well, don't forget, Wirfs started his career as a right tackle in the league, and he just moved to left tackle, I think, last year, if memory serves me correctly. So he's played right tackle, I think, his first 2 years in the league, because he came out in 20, and I'm pretty sure in 20 and 21 he was their right tackle, and then in 22 and maybe 3 years, but because we're now in 24, but I think he's played left tackle the last 2 years. So he's gone against him. Wirfs is really good. I mean, that's one of those really good matchups where Wirfs is going to win some and Bosa is going to win some. Wirfs is really strong. He's got really light feet. He's just a really good tackle. So, you know, you're going to expect that he's going to win some one-on-one matchups.
Charvarius Ward not expected to play after the family tragedy in the game on Sunday. What does that do, in your opinion, for the 49ers with a secondary of mostly younger and inexperienced players? How have they looked so far this year, Greg?
Well, I think Renardo Green has showed really well, so he's obviously going to, I assume he's going to start now. So you're going to have, Yodam is going to play, right? He'll be the other corner on the outside. I mean, when they go to nickel.
Lenore,
but you're right. Yodam will probably move back into the lineup a little bit more than he had been, yeah.
Yeah, I would assume Lenore will, if they're playing base, I assume Lenore will be on the outside as he always is in base. The question is, who's going to play opposite him in base? Will it be Yodam or Green? I guess, you know, we'll have to wait and see on that. But, you know, when they go nickel, obviously Lenore will move inside to the slot. Green has played well. I think he's going to be a really good player. Yodam's been a guy that's been in the league, and, you know, he's been with a number of teams, but, you know, he's now been in the league a long time, so teams obviously think you can line up and play with him.
Greg, I like, you're free on this one to be like, I have no idea, Mark, but I want to ask you, because the Niners just acquired someone at the deadline. Do you have any intel on Khalil Davis, the inside tackle that they got from Houston this week?
Yeah, he was a rotational tackle with Houston. I think that's what he is, and I think he's really good in that role. Like, he's not a guy you'd put out there for 45 or 50 snaps. You know, I've seen him with Houston. He shows up on film. He flashes. He's got pretty good quickness. You know, that will be his role with the Niners. He'll be a rotational player. That's why they got him. They wanted more depth. Obviously Hargrave's done for the year, so they're looking for depth at that position. I think that's what he is. You know, when you get a guy like that, you're getting him because you know what he is, and you're getting him for a specific reason, and that's the reason.
And when you look at the Niners so far through 8 games on film in the interior defensive line, where do you see their problems or their weaknesses against the run and or the pass?
I wouldn't necessarily, you know, call it weakness. I mean, you have to be careful about, you know, if a team runs the ball, you know, in a given week, you don't, you know, I have this conversation so often, you know, with different people when I do stuff. We live in a social media world where, quite frankly, everybody is trying to make evaluations week to week. And you can't really do that. You know, there's 17 games, it's the NFL. You know, sometimes guys don't play great in a given week. It doesn't mean they're no good. Sometimes a team doesn't play well in a specific area in a given week. It doesn't mean that they're bad at that. You know, for instance, I'll give you an example. We've talked about Devondre Campbell a number of times over, you know, since we started talking, and there's been plays where he's not been very good at all. There's also been plays where he's been very good. So you just have to be careful. I mean, this is a defense that has a pretty good front. It's, can they get beat at times inside? It's one reason why they went out and got Khalil Davis, because they probably don't want to play Jordan Elliott as many snaps as they've had to play him, because he's not that guy. So they're looking for more players. But they're not a weak defense.
Greg, when you look at what's coming back, and Dre Greenlaw maybe soon, but not yet, but the expectation this week is, at least on the offensive side, Christian McCaffrey and Juwan Jennings are going to be back. And the 49er fan base kind of has this vibe of, like, coming out of the bye, the cavalry is coming back. We're going to look really different this week. Is that fair? Do you expect this offense with those two additions to really kind of jump up a few notches?
Well, I think the one thing we don't know is how much McCaffrey will play.
Yep.
You know, is he going to play 60 snaps? Is he going to play 20 snaps? I mean, we're talking on a Thursday. I don't know what his status is. Do you guys happen to know, has he been a full go in practice?
No, he's been a limited go. The only thing that we have, and this is completely unofficial, but Richard Sherman did say that he spoke directly to Christian last week, and that Christian said they've been very cautious. He already was ready to go. And so they're just playing it cool, but that he expects potentially a significant role this weekend.
Well, I mean, if they've been giving him, you know, an extra 2-3 weeks for that reason, which in my view is smart, then maybe he is going to play 40 or 50 snaps. And I would expect their offense, you know, don't forget, they've still run the ball well. Now, he's obviously arguably the best back in the league when healthy. So, you know, he's a better player than Mason and Garrido. But I don't think the offense in terms of approach, in terms of running the football, you know, how much they run it is necessarily going to change. It may look different because of the motions, you know, different looks, but it's not as if all of a sudden they're going to run the ball 80% of their plays. They're a running team. You know, Mason, until he got hurt, was up among the league leaders, if not leading the league in number of carries. So it's, you know, that's not going to change. They're going to be a running football team to start. You're asking if there's going to be better production. Now, Mason gave you a lot of production as well. So, you know, it's not as if the production's going to double.
Right, but I wonder about the production in the red zone because they were number one last year, and this year
right.
they're bottom five. Does the McCaffrey presence give them
yes.
that versatility that they need?
Yes, and you know, teams normally that are really good in the red zone, normally, nothing's 100% in the league, but normally they can run the ball, you know, really well, particularly when you get into the low red zone, meaning inside the 10-yard line, and that's where McCaffrey gives them something that they don't have.
Greg, great stuff, man. Here we go, coming out of the bye week and the back stretch, and this is where Kyle Shanahan has really succeeded in his history, so we look forward to talking to you throughout.
Yeah, and they got some tough ones coming up. I mean, they got Seattle, Green Bay, Buffalo. I mean,
yep.
it'll be an interesting schedule.
Yes.
You know, this is a tough game. I mean, they're on the road. This is almost a must-win game.
Oh.
Yeah,
you hear that, Dibs?
Don't say. He said almost.
Almost.
Thank you for couching
almost.
It, Greg.
I mean, just because the schedule's hard.
Yes.
It is.
I mean,
but, you know,
look,
Greg,
this
you
is a team
both,
when they play
like, really analytical, and I'm very strict about my use of the phrase must win. That's all.
Well, I mean, you know, look, must win, you know. Look, if they go to four, they're 4-4, right?
Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, obviously no one wants to go to 4-5 if you're 4-4, but they've got a challenging schedule. In other words, they don't have the games you look and you go, boy, that's going to be a win, you know, just pretty much. They don't have those kinds of games coming up.
You're exactly right. I mean, trips to Buffalo, trip to Green Bay, the Lions are still on the schedule. You're right, Greg. Great to talk to you as always.
All right, guys, appreciate it. Thanks
right.
so much.
Thanks,
yep.
Greg.
We'll talk to you soon. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Greg Cosell says this is a must-win this weekend.
No, that's not what he said. And for you to corrupt the words of my dear friend Greg Cosell is not only erroneous, but it, quite frankly, it's hurtful. He said almost must-win.